to honor mothers, Mother's Day. And, you know, really you can't. We good to go, brother? Should be. Okay. You know, in the Bible, there's different passages you can look at and go to, but brethren, there's so much, Proverbs 31, there's so much that's contained in there about mothers and wives and such. It just certainly does make the proper text for such a day. We've looked at these verses before, but I hope today we can look at them maybe in some ways we've not looked at them before, and that there'd be a blessing and a help to everyone here. I do want to say that every one of us ought to be thankful for the wives and mothers that we have. They may not always be perfect, but they don't have perfect children either. We want to thank God for them, and thank God for the mothers we have that brought us into this world, and God used them, their wombs, to bring us here. I tell you something, you might not have the best situation in the world, but be thankful and love them, and maybe God can do things there. It couldn't be done otherwise. I want to take, and as we look at these passages this morning, I guess I don't title things a lot, but I guess I would title it, Consider the Treasure You Have. Proverbs 31, verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, brethren, this virtuous woman would not be a prize to the world. The world disdains this type of woman. They don't think much of her. But she's honorable to the Lord, and the Lord highly esteems such. But you've got to understand that this type of woman, the world, the devil and the world hates, and will do all he can to run down this type of woman, but this is the type of woman that God would have you to be. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, instruct us, and guide us this morning. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Now listen, ladies. If this morning, as we discuss these passages of Scripture, if you think, well, what about him? Well, now you've crossed off yourself as a virtuous woman. Okay. When you take that type of attitude, then you just disqualified yourself for the virtuous woman prize. Okay, you're out of the running now. All right. Don't worry about him. We'll try to deal with him next month if the Lord hadn't come back and we're here. But don't worry about that. This woman we speak of, this virtuous woman, that's not one of the attributes that she tries to get and apply and do. Okay, you're patting your virtuous wife over there. It's okay. That's real good. Amen. She's letting me make sure she's listening. Amen. Amen. There you go. So Proverbs 31, verse 10. I want to title it again, Consider the Treasure You Have. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? The word virtuous is defined as this, morally good, chaste. Tell you what, things really don't change, brethren. There just seems to be more of evil in such day because there are probably more people. But there are no new sins. But no doubt it was true in that day, and brethren, how true it is today. What a true question that is. How true a question it is, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find one? I mean, brethren, that's just about a chore today. Huh? I mean, it's not just going to happen. Brethren, this verse shows us that they are rare. Look what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? I mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Rubies are the most valuable, precious jewel that there is. Sometimes real, rare colored diamonds will bring a higher price, but overall, rubies pull the prize. They pull the prize high as the top. And they're, you know why they pull the prize? Because they're rare. Rubies are rare. Alright, and they're beautiful and all like that that goes along with it, and it makes them of high value. Well, the Bible says that a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. Who can find one? And let me tell you something. Gentlemen, you need to consider the treasure you have. You know, at different times I've said, you know, figured out how much rubies are for carat, you know, how much they are for the carat weight. You know, if you figure out how much your wife weighs, what's how much of a treasure that you have. All right, I mean, you really got something. All right? Amen. But you know, think about it a minute. Really, consider the treasure that you have. Her price is far above rubies. Her price is far above rubies because of the rarity. A morally good, a chaste woman today, man, brethren, hard to find, huh? Hard to find, brethren. The devil and society has done the job so well that so many young women today are impure physically, they're impure spiritually, they're impure in their mind. I mean, it's just a hard thing to find. I mean, thank God for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that, you know, old things pass away, all things become new. But, you know, brethren, I tell you something, even that, finding someone who's, you know, maybe had a bad past, but now they've gotten saved. And I mean, brethren, to find a virtuous woman today is a rare find indeed. And brethren, we ought to be thankful for the wives that we have. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for the wife. If you've got a virtuous woman, and listen, you and the Lord know the call on that one, then listen, you ought to be thankful for what you have. And ladies, look here. It should be your desire to strive to be the type of woman that's described in here. Don't throw up your hands and say, I can't be that. Now, something's wrong with that attitude. Your attitude should be such, Lord, I want to strive to be that. And again, if you're saying, well, what about him? You're missing the whole cue. You're missing the whole thing this morning. Alright? A virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. The Bible says her price is far above rubies. Listen, they don't come a dime a dozen. They don't. You may have to search. You know, for young men in here, listen, sometimes you may, they're not just out there. Sometimes you may have to search. Hey, folks, bring up your daughters. So that if it's, you know, their desire someday to have a husband, that boy, some man can get a prize. A virtuous wife. You will really have been given that guy some more kind of a reward. Verse number 11 says this. It describes the virtuous woman. By the way, again, virtuous means morally good, chaste. Verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. How about the heart of the husband of a virtuous woman safely trusts in her. He doesn't have any need of spoil. Now, you know, if you look up spoil in the dictionary, spoil is the bounty, the goods that you get from war. You go to war and you get spoil. Spoil is often clothes and gold and silver and goods and cattle and animals, and sometimes even they would go and get other women. They'd get, you know, the spoil of victory. But you know what? The heart of a virtuous woman's husband, he safely trusts in her. He has no need of spoil. You know, but also, what are you talking about? Listen. The heart of that husband of the virtuous woman, he didn't have to go to war because he needs the money. Think about it a minute. Are you with me? He doesn't have to go to war because he needs the money. See, he doesn't have to go to war and get spoil because his wife's ruining him because of all the spending she's doing, or wanting this and wanting that. Are you with me? Look what it says. It says, the heart of her husband is safely trusting her so that he shall have no need of spoil. It ain't like that he's like, man, I better go pull a little mercenary duty, man. I better go hire myself out. You know what I mean? We got to have something. We got to do something, man. I can't satisfy her. I can't keep enough in the house. I can't. She's got me broke, man. I got to go out to war and get some spoil. Think about that. His heart trust in her, so that he shall have no need to spoil. He doesn't have to go out to war to meet the demands his wife puts on him. Hey, I'll put it this way. Also, he won't have to resort to enterprises and schemes to survive. Are you with me? He won't have to finagle and resort. Man, you got to do what you got to do. I got to do something, man, because you know what? She's not spending his substance up. The virtuous woman's husband can be like, man, he's not having to go out and work 10 million jobs because she's spending all this stuff. Now, guys, God help you if it's happening because of you. Because you're wanting everything. But you know what? So often, it's like, well, honey, I like this, or honey, I like that. Or, you know, and so to keep her satisfied, he's like, well, I got to do this, I got to do this. When you're the virtuous woman says, hey, I can be satisfied. I don't have to have everything to where she's not there working her husband to death. That's not being a lazy husband. I'm talking about, well, I'm going to tell him about what he feels like. I got to do this, I got to that, I got to, man, to keep. Hey, brother, look here. You know folks like that, and I know folks like that. All right? The guy's the man, he's run ragging because she's not satisfied. It's always got to be something. He won't have to resort to that. He has no desire, no need to spoil. See, you see, she's not a Delilah whining over something she can't have because she can't be trusted with it. That's what he's talking about. Well, look at Delilah. You don't love me. You don't love me. You won't tell me, you know, when you break string flies so I can do you in. You know, I mean, look at Delilah. Every time, you don't love me, you don't love me. Because you know what? He kept back from her something she couldn't handle. She wanted to know his strength so she could reveal it. Alright? And, you know, because so it benefit her. And he wouldn't give her that knowledge that she wanted. And so she whined about it. You know what, brother? It's kind of like this. That virtuous woman is not the kind of woman who whines, why won't you let me have the credit card? Why don't you let me have the checkbook? Why don't you trust me? I did that. You about ruined this twice. And you know something? I mean, really? Listen, ladies, if your husband doesn't trust you with the money, why doesn't he? Why doesn't he? Why? I know a guy one time, he hid the credit cards. That's a whole other... Yeah, and she found them. Or she got the numbers, man. She was like, it was like a contest. You know, trying to like, keep away, you know, hide and seek. It was crazy. All right? And you know what? And she was like, you don't trust me with it. Why should he? Bring ruin to him. But you know, the heart of the husband of a virtuous woman, you have to worry about that. He'd be like, well, she knows what checkbook is. Or, honey, go down there. And he can trust that. That she's not going to hide purchases from him. She's not going to sneak around and do this and that and the other. She's not going to take and waste it. He can trust her. Now, listen, look here. I'm just saying, ladies, look here. Gentlemen, praise God for all the qualities of this you see in your wife. Ladies, look here. Strive for these. If you see that you lack in these areas, say, God, help me. The heart of my husband can safely trust in me. He won't have to worry about that I'm going to bring us under, or I'm wasting the money, or I'm bouncing checks all over the place, or I'm doing this, that, and the other, you know, or he can trust me in those ways. That's the heart of a husband of a virtuous woman can do that. And the Bible says, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He doesn't have to take it like, well, I better go do this, you know. I guess I need to go because, you know, she won't be happy, and I got to have more, you know, and just that's a miserable existence. The heart of the husband of a virtuous woman doesn't have to do that. Look at verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. How about that? All the days of her life. She's in it for the long haul. You see, it's not so much how you're doing now. Will you stick to it all the way to the end? She's in it for the long haul. She'll do him good, the Bible says, and not evil all the days of her life. She's determined to do him good. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She doesn't have to be goaded like, honey, would you do this? Could you just get this done? You don't have to go, come on, honey, come on. This needs to be done around. Could you at least do this and do that? He doesn't have to do that. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. Now hold on. Look here. Before anybody here, listen, ladies, if anybody takes this personally, All I'm doing is reading about the virtuous woman and making commentary and comments on it. All right? If you get an attitude, well, now wait a minute. A hit dog hollers. All right, now I'm not, you know, I'm just, we're putting out here the virtuous woman to where you can either say, Lord, thank you for helping me to be this way, or your husband can thank God that he's got one like that, or you can say, Lord, help me strive for these things. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. In other words, listen, she doesn't make excuses. She's industrious. Notice what it says, she seeketh wool and flax. She doesn't take the attitude, I can't. I don't have anything here to do. I can't do anything about it. She goes and seeks wool and flax. You see, rather than saying, what can I do? There's nothing. She seeks what she can do. She doesn't sit back and rest on an excuse of, well, I don't have any wool and flax to, you know, to do. She goes and seeks it. She goes and seeks it. And worketh willingly. She doesn't be prodded. Prodded. Now, ladies, look here. Understand. I know some of you have your homeschool and do this and that. Let's all keep things in context of things. Amen. Amen. Understand that, you know. But what I'm saying is, listen, there's so many things. Listen. That virtuous woman doesn't have to be prodded into doing duties and things that need to be done. She had to be prodded into like, well, honey, that rumble was not a car going by. It was my stomach. I really am hungry. I would like something on the table. I know sometimes some people can be super clean, but the laundry hadn't been done in 3 weeks. I do wish we could do something about it there, just a little bit, or, you know, I mean, our son, our daughter, I'm not wanting to be a rocket scientist, but being able to read by 13 is just something that would be kind of nice if just, you know, listen, you know what I'm saying, listen. She had to be prodded to do these things. And she doesn't hide behind excuses. She's industrious. Rather than complaining about what she doesn't have, she sees what she can do. Now, the virtuous woman, rather than complaining about what she doesn't have, she sees what she can do. She looks for opportunity. She looks for opportunity. Says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. That's interesting. She's like the merchant's ships. You know, when the merchant ships come in, they bring food from faraway places. And so it's often variety. It's not always what you get locally, it's variety. Can I say this? I believe, listen, she's number one, she's not lazy. She bringeth her food from afar. She's not lazy. She'll do what she has to do. All right? She'll get up and do the things to make sure her family is clothed and fed and things are together and such like that. She'll do those things. Now, by the way, brethren, this is not... I want to tell you something, brethren. Again, this is not society's woman. This is God's woman. All right? It's not society's woman. And sad, but a lot of things we're looking at have crept into professing Christianity. So much of what we're looking at has crept into professing Christianity and ruined what God has set up for woman. And ladies, may I tell you something? Even marriage, the way it was in the Old Testament, was a little bit different. A man purchased a wife. A woman didn't purchase a husband. Which shows there's a difference in the setup. Alright? Just because society's got our mind in one way doesn't mean it's the right way.
That's right.
Alright? A man purchased a bride. He purchased her. He bought her. You see, more so often than saying, that man said, I'm going to purchase me a while ago. He paid a bride price and purchased her. She didn't purchase him. So she came into the thing realizing there was some duty she had. Yeah, he had. Uh-huh. But there was a place for the man, there was a place for the woman. The devil in society, listen, if you want to ruin the home, ruin the most basic setup of the home, the husband-wife relationship. Right? And that's what the devil of society wants to do. She's not lazy. She'll bring her food from afar. Also, look here, the merchant ships. You know what? I believe that virtuous woman, she'll bring what variety she can to the home. She'll bring what variety she can. Listen, I understand. Your husband likes a special candy that can only be gotten from Madagascar. Okay, hey, there's just some things you can't do. Okay? There's just some things you can't do. Madagascar. Okay. Taiwan. I don't know. But there's just some things you can't do. But you know what? With what you can do, ladies, with what you can do, bring some variety. Listen, hey. Well, Brother Dawes, I know budgets. I said with what you can do. With what you can do. Change it around a little bit. Spice it up a little bit. Bring some variety. You know, in what you bring on. Instead of the same thing. Or anything like that. Hey, if you can kind of bring something. In other words, she'll make it to where the things are kind of a little spice to it. A little different. A little not just humdrum. You know, like merchant ships. When merchant ships come in, it's bringing stuff from different places. You know, it's kind of different. She's like the merchant ship. She'll bring up the food from afar. Every one of us have to work within the constraints of our budgets, our income, all that. But within that, do what you can. Ladies, maybe when you shop, rather than just, it's food, they'll live. Nutritionally, they will exist. Your body needs food, here it is. It's like, well, why don't you get IVs then? Taking every now something like, I think that's kind of, just something different like that, something special. I'm trying to be a help. But see, society so messed things up. All right, look at verse number 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She doesn't lay in bed and have everyone fend for themselves. She doesn't lay in bed and, I think there's some cereal under there. Okay. Hey, listen. The devil will do anything he can to put a wedge in. She riseth also while it is night, while it was still dark. And listen. Something's made up, and husband and families took care of for the next day. Listen, I'm telling you. Ladies, look here. Listen. If he's going out there, make his lunch for him. Make his lunch for him. Unless he doesn't like him making lunch for him. I don't know, but I'm saying if he does, make his lunch for him. For breakfast, get up there and be there with him and see him off, and this and that. I mean, really? I want to help you. But these kind of things, I'm telling you, there's little things the devil can get into. The Bible says she riseth also while it is yet night. But now listen, guys, we can't keep them up all hours of the night and then expect them to rise up while it's still dark, there's got to be some give and go here with the thing. But she riseth also while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. It's not like she's laying there again like saying, I got you some, that stuff, hot pocket. It's like, thanks honey, I'm refreshed and ready for the day and I'm going to take it by storm. And it's just little things that can make a big difference. Yeah, right. Listen, what is it? Somebody one time said their wife, I think the wife tried this time, but something happened. What got put in for a sandwich was not what she, I think there was a little mistake. But praise God, the effort was there. Amen. The effort was there. That's it. But listen, you see the picture of this virtuous woman. She takes and she, I'll tell you something, brother. Let me tell you the difference in attitudes. Ladies, you might not like this, but I'm just going to tell you the difference in attitudes. My mom took it upon herself. Like, when stuff got together for my dad to go on a trip, she got it together for him. Instead of having an attitude of like, he's a big boy, he knows where, she gets my stuff together.
You're a big, yeah, but you know what, brother, look here, I understand that. But there's an attitude of service women used to have.
Right.
There's an attitude of service that women used to have that society has corrupted. You say, well, that'll make a dictator out of a man. No, in many cases, a man treated like a queen will make a woman feel like a queen. A man treated like a king will make a woman feel like a... All right, yeah, thank you. Ooh, yeah, okay. Take the tape. Edit. Okay. But anyway, I think we see the point I'm trying to make. Yeah, thank you. They see the point I'm trying to make. But you know, there's a service attitude that needs to be there. It really does. Rather than taking and saying, get your stuff together. I mean, there was an attitude of service that used to be around that society is trying to destroy. Again, she rises also was night. She doesn't just lay there in bed, you know, and is like, oh, you know, she does something. Right. But again, gentlemen, you can't have your wife up all hours of the night and then expect you can't have your cake always needed too. Be reasonable things. Verse 16, the Bible says this in verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She makes wise and frugal decisions. She makes wise and frugal decisions. She's looking for a bargain. She knows money doesn't just grow on trees. And so she looks for the best use of the money that's coming into the household. She's wise and she's frugal. Notice it says she considereth the field. To consider means this in the dictionary. To view or examine with attention. Sometimes she's looking. She's saying, well, this price may be lower, but how much am I getting for it? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times she'll say, oh, this price is lower. How much am I really getting for it? You know, and, you know, a lot of times she'll look and realize she can cut corners here and there and, you know, and save some money. All right? She's wise. She's frugal. Let me say this to you. She's industrious. Evidently, her industry allows her to have some income. Look at this. She considers the field and buys it. How about that? So she's got some money of her own. It may be money her husband has let her have, or it may be, because we're going to see later on she sells some things, she's been very industrious, some money she has on her own that she takes, she considers a good deal. And this, by the way, this does not justify women in real estate, okay? Hang on just a minute. Don't take this and say, wow, that's a good thing for a woman, man, to be out there in the real estate field. Look, ladies, I'm going to tell you something. You got no business being in business around men. Well, I'm just going to tell you, that's dangerous. That is just flat dangerous. Trouble can happen right around the corner. You just listen. But it's talking about, look, she sees a good deal, and then she goes and does something with it. All right? And listen, look here, ladies. I know, especially if you school the kids, if you're doing this and that, there might not be a lot of time you've got for certain things, but there might be some ways you could do to have a little something there on the side. To have a little something. She's frugal with her money. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Brethren, she works to improve her household and condition. She works to improve her household and her condition. It says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She doesn't just... See... Let me put it this way. Something only gets strengthened when it's used or worked at. She works to keep her household in good condition. Herself, her household, in good condition. Go to Proverbs 14. Gentlemen, I think there needs to be an understanding that if you want children, you've got to understand that children does all kinds of things to one body. You probably never realize how elastic the human body can become. Children change. Childbirth and such changes a woman's body. All right. So you need to take that into account. If you want children, you got to understand your wife's body changes with that. All right. And take that into account. And don't be a jerk and say, well, you don't look the same when they're trying to have children that you want. Okay. Now, with that said, ladies, don't fall back on the excuse of, well, I've had a bunch of babies. No, listen, don't fall on the excuse. Do what you can for yourself. Do what you can for yourself to keep yourself you know, in the best condition you can. All right? Look here. Listen. I know we're all predisposed for all kinds of things, and this, that, and the other, and all like that. But listen, work to keep yourself to where you don't let yourself... What does the phrase out of shape mean? If something's out of shape, that means it's taking on a shape that is different. It's out of shape. All right? Listen, don't fall back on that excuse and let yourself get in a condition you really don't want yourself to get into. To let yourself get into a shape and a manner to where you feel unsightly. Don't let it happen. Work at it. Just fight with it. I know it's probably work at it, but work at it. And don't fall back on an excuse. Hey, now gentlemen, shedding babies, all right, changes. But ladies, don't fall back on an excuse of, well, you know, things I just have young and everything, more bonbons. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to prove a point here. All right, look here. Let's go on. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Ladies, work on improving the house and the condition. Work on building up, not just your home and how everybody is, but also the neatness of it. Just strive to the utmost of your ability to work at those things. And I know you've got so many things. I mean, guys, look here, really. I'll tell you something, fellas. Listen. Putting yourself and trying to do what a woman has to contend with in a day would wear you out. But also, ladies, trying to put yourself in a man's world will wear you out. God's made different roles. And in those roles, it is taxing each in their own role. Now, a man who looks at a woman and says, well, what do you do all day? You're just here with the kids. Now, listen, you don't know. You're head from all the ground. What they do, man. Well, they got to, but see, okay, that's a woman. You got a woman's role and a man's role. All right? Ladies, you're not going to cut it in a man's world. You're not. You're not made for that. But men, look here. You'd have a hard time in a woman's world, too. You're going to pull your hair out. Okay? That's after them. All right? Now, but listen, work to improve the situation. In the home, you've seen the hats and the t-shirts. If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's one of those truisms of life that transcends all religions and all boundaries and is true no matter what. You know, a lot of truth to that. If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And, you know, ladies, understand that things do key around you a lot. Understand it and don't take advantage of it. All right, look here, let's go on. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. The word merchandise means whatever is usually bought or sold in trade. Her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. You know what she does? Not only does she make sure her family's taken care of first, but then if she can, she'll make a little bit extra to sell. She's industrious. Merchandise, that's something you sell. Okay. In other words, she'll do what she can to help out her house. There's something she can do in the home. But now listen, from the context I see in Proverbs 31, she's making sure household is took care of first. Household first. All right. She doesn't rise up lots early to make sure everybody's fed, took care of. She looks well to the ways of her household first. Then she'll take. Run that spindle, that distaff, that's, you know, weaving, the loom and the weaving and all like that. And she'll make girdles like belts and everything. And she'll sell them. The income. Something she can do there. Ladies, look here, you might not be able to, though. Maybe you're schooling the kids, doing this. You might have time for that. But sometimes you got a situation like here, she was able to. Man, she's not out there in the business world. She's not out there, but she's there at the house and doing what she can. All right? And making a sale. She's industrious. She's industrious. Verse number 20. Well, verse number 19 again. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Her time is occupied with industry and not in gossip and vanity. See that? She's got time on her hands. You know what she does? She's not on the phone trying to get the gaze gossip. She's not running down the road trying. You know what she's doing? If she does have time on her hands. And ladies, what lady has time on her hands usually? But if she does, rather than spending it in gossip and vanity, she's finding out a way she can be industrious and, hey, she makes a little money there. She makes some girdles and makes some things there. She's able to sell them and make a little money there. She's industrious. Instead of wasting her time, she's using it profitably. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. How about that?
She has a heart for the poor and needy. This is a virtuous woman we're talking about. She has a heart for the poor and needy. Let me make a statement here. Her industry, in other words, her lack of laziness, her character trait of looking for an opportunity to do something, her industry allows her to help others. Her heart causes her to desire to help others. Are you with me? Sometimes people are industrious. Well, look at this. Sometimes people have a heart to help people and they want to, but they can't. You know why? Because they're not industrious. Are you with me? Sometimes people want to help other people. They want to do more. But listen, a good heart with a lazy character won't work. Do you know how many people have a good heart but a lazy character? Do you know they have a heart that they really want to do for people? They're, honestly, their heart is where it ought to be. They want to do for people, but they're lazy though. So though the heart's there, there's never no opportunity for it to be fulfilled. And you know that some people are industrious, man, but they have no heart. They're selfish. Oh, they'll work, man. They will work and turn a buck and turn a profit, but it's all for self. They don't have a heart for nobody else. Man, the good combo is to be industrious. That will allow you to do something for others. And then the right kind of heart will cause you to desire to. It's both of them. Both of them. That virtuous woman's like that. She's got a heart for the poor and needy. She's like, man. And her industry, because she redeems her time and, you know, and is not lazy, she's able to do something. But you know something, so many times, so many of us want to be able to do something for others or do something for missions or things of God like this. Our heart may be there, but you know what? If our character suffers, we won't be able to. Maybe we're lazy. Maybe we're wasteful. Maybe we're not wise with our money. And though our heart, though we want to, we're not able to because of bad character traits. Man, work on those things. So that then, man, it'll click. You've got the ability to with the heart to. Sometimes people have the ability to, but they don't have the heart to. Well, this woman here, though, she's got them both. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She thinks of others. Listen, brethren. They said one time there was a woman up in West Virginia, and they got at this thing to where they was going. The community got together a bunch of stuff, you know, to give to some of the poor and needy. And they came to this woman, and this woman found out there was going to be a drive to do this kind of thing, you know. And so she worked and she canned and she got all she could together to help them poor and needy people that was going to bring it to. She probably was one of the ones that gave some of the most stuff. And you watch, she was one of the ones that was going to bring the stuff to. God bless a woman like that, man. God bless her. Said they come one time to one woman's house and said, ma'am, they're going to give her some money. What would you do with $100? She goes, I reckon I'd give it to somebody who needed it. She just figured she didn't need it. She had everything she needed. Hey, brethren. A lot of it, brethren. A lot of times we're not as bad off as we think we are. If we'll really take honest stock, look around. All right, look at this. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. How about that? She is not afraid of the snow for her household. What do you mean? What do you mean? Here's what I think it's saying to us. I believe it's saying that she doesn't allow surmountable obstacles to affect her. In other words, I said a surmountable obstacle is an obstacle that is an obstacle, but it's an obstacle that can be overcome. Are you with me? So she didn't look at the snow and like, I can't do anything today. There's snow on the ground. She doesn't let that stop her. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. You see, brethren, let's be honest. A lot of things can become excuses, huh? Are they obstacles? Yes, but they're not insurmountable obstacles. They're not obstacles that can't be overcome. But we're like, look, snowing. You know, snowing. But one time it snowed back home. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is how bad you want it. It snowed back home and you couldn't drive on the road. And my daddy was not going to let me go see her because the car's going to get out. Now, if I hadn't wanted to go see Sarah, if I was just playing games, I could say, well, you know, honey, it's snowing today, you know. Daddy said I can't drive. So I said, well, Daddy said he can't drive, but I can walk, can't I? And I guess he probably shook his head. Yeah, walk, you know. So I struck out, man, 4 miles away to go see her. And walked through the snow. Because
I had a desire that was greater than the seeming obstacle. See, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. Listen, don't allow things that can be surmounted, things that you overcome, to be excuses for things you can do for your household, your family. That virtuous woman doesn't say, that virtuous woman does not throw up her hands and say, what can I do? The virtuous woman says, I can do something. Are we? And she just throw up her hands and say, well, nothing I can do. The virtuous woman says, well, there's an obstacle here. So what can I do to overcome it? Not, there's a difference between saying, what can I do? And saying, what can I do? Big difference. Okay? May I say this? Not only does she, listen, she doesn't allow surmountable obstacles to affect her, much less does she imagined obstacles. I mean, there's a real obstacle, snow. But she doesn't let it stop her. Brother, sometimes the obstacles are in somebody's mind. Are you with me? Some, brethren, it's all in our mind. There's nothing really there. We just imagine it to be so. Go to Proverbs 26. Like I said, when I come up, they said this, can't never good do nothing. Oh, brother, people, man, have made it, do make it. Proverbs 26, verse 13. Proverbs 26, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion's in the streets. You know, listen. Here's what it is, brother. If you don't want to do something, and you're determined not to do it, you can come up with an excuse every time. The thing is, how bad do we want it? Is it important enough to us? If it is, we won't have imagined obstacles and real obstacles will, by the grace of God, overcome. Proverbs 31, real quick. Look at verse number 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. How about that? She takes care of herself. I mean, a tapestry, if you look at a tapestry, it's a cloth that has, you know, figures on it and things, you know, designs on it, everything. She covers herself with that and was still comfortable. In other words, listen. Though that virtuous woman is not brazen, she dresses herself to look nice. Not like a slob. Not nasty looking. You know, neat, clean, orderly. Not nothing that stands out to be different, not nothing that just looks, you know, she's, you know, looks nice. She's still for her husband. But can I say this to you? She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. You know, she makes some things that she sells. Let me tell you something. I believe that virtuous woman doesn't profit from something that she wouldn't wear herself. I don't believe she'd make and sell something she wouldn't wear herself. Everyone think on. Okay? I don't believe she's going to make something that, like, well, I wouldn't wear that. I'm not going to, you know, that, you know, but not making money off of. So, I mean, she's a virtuous woman. She's a virtuous woman. All right? Look at verse 24. Verse 23. I believe she takes care to dress nicely. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know what? The virtuous woman adds to her husband's reputation rather than detracting from it. She adds to her husband's reputation. Because of her, her husband is well known at the gate. She's like, oh, that man, that man's got a good wife and family. That's, you know, man, that guy's home's, oh, it's man, his home is neat and order, and it's you know, and it's good. I'm telling you what, she adds to that rather than like, man, they just can't get it together. You know, and everything's just a mess, and everything's just, you know, it's just always... She adds to his reputation rather than detracting from it. That's how the virtuous woman does. Verse number 24. You know, the elders would sit in the gates of the city. Business transactions would be done there. That's where things would... You read about it in the book of Job. He's well known. She adds to his reputation. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Girdles are like belts. Belts. So look, she'll make fine linen and sell it. She'll deliver girdles unto the merchant. Again, she's industrious. After she takes care of her household,
then she'll be industrious and bring a little money in. Bring a little money in. And you know what she can do with that money? She can help the poor and needy. And is that not what the Bible talks about in the New Testament when he talks about having jobs and having work and doing things so that we may have to give to him that needeth? Here's a virtuous woman. She's like, well, man, I can't do like my husband does, but okay, after my family's took care of, I could make some girls, and, I could sell those, and then, next time they have a missionary offering at church, I can give to that. Next time, I can do some of that. It's a blessing. There's somebody poor and needy I can do for that. I know. The big thing. But what about me? You do right. And I guarantee you, God will make sure you're done right. Beyond. You ain't got to do right by God. God will make sure you're, hey. But see, I really believe, brethren, she does that. Because see, it's talking about the poor and needy. So she can have to do for others. Well, maybe support some missionaries. Maybe do this, that, and the other. Boy, what a blessing for her, huh? Ladies, I know what your schedule is, and you school your kids, or something. I understand all that. But I'm saying, if you've got that, here's a lady that after her household was taken care of, she had some time, she didn't gossip, she didn't run the road, she didn't do this, she made use of it profitably. And she was able to take the use of it and not put it on vain things. I believe she was able to do right things with it. All right, now, look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You see, she has a good reputation. An honorable one. Strength and honor are her clothing. She has a good reputation. She has an honorable one. Ladies, you need to ask yourself, what reputation do you have? And why do you have it? And what can you do to better it? And she shall rejoice in time to come. Listen, ladies, hard work, the virtuous woman's hard work, the virtuous woman's character will reward her now. It will reward her later, but most importantly, it will reward her in eternity. It will reward her in eternity. Look at verse 26. Well, before we go to verse 26, let me say this. Look at verse 25. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength, brethren, only comes by one thing. As far as humanly speaking, it comes by exercising something. Strength of character grows as you exercise character. If you want your character to be greater, if you want to develop your character, you've got to exercise it. In other words, brethren, when you know how you're supposed to handle a situation, strive to do that. You might come up short. You might not meet your goal. But you tried. You exercised it. Next time, you'll be stronger in it. Next time, you'll be stronger in it. Your character, your body will never develop without it ever moving. And your character will never develop without it being exercised. Any man that ever tried to meet a bodily goal failed at it sometimes, but he got stronger by trying. And you exercise your character by knowing how you're supposed to handle a situation, how you're supposed to do, strive for that. You may miss it, you might not hit it, but you'll be stronger for it. The next time you'll come closer to the goal of getting it. Your character will get stronger as you exercise it. And it says strength and honor are her clothing. Do you want stronger character? Surely we all do. Well, start exercising the character you have. You'll grow. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. How about that? She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In other words, that virtuous woman knows when to speak and when to keep silence. Can't you, brother, I know I remember in my life, some older ladies I knew who you know what? They didn't talk a lot, but when they talked, they said something.
Amen.
They said something. Now, I can remember ladies that I knew coming up, but boy, they didn't talk a lot. When they said something, it was like it dropped, like a huge weight. Like, boom, whoa. Whoa. Oh, man. Ooh, said something like that in a while. Whoa. Just kind of drop it, Just kind of, they're doing something, maybe look up from their knitting, they're looking up from the cooking, and just make it, and then, wow. Ooh, conversation stops. Boom. Okay, yeah, that's right. Oh, man. I don't want to chew on for about a month or two. Knows when to speak. When to keep silent. That virtuous woman is not a chatterbox. Just kidding. She knows when to speak and when not to speak. May I say this also? It says, she opened her, and her, in her tongue is law of kindness. She's kind in her talk. She doesn't bite people's head off. She's not sour. She's not, what? What? You got a problem? What? What? She's not, not just, with an attitude or unkind or snippy or,
She's kinder. The virtuous woman is kind in her talk. And these are the things we're to shoot for. I mean, surely your goal is to be that virtuous woman. The Bible says it's a great price, a price far above rubies. Knows when to speak, when not to. Hey, it says she opened her mouth with wisdom. May I tell you, this is the truth. The older I get, I have a desire. I wish I could go back and sit down again with some of my older relatives and get more from them than I did get. I do. I told my cousin Larry said that his mama, my Aunt Lottie, when Archie, their oldest son, got ready to get married, Archie was seeing Charlene, and him and Charlene had been seeing one another, and Archie told him, Mama, I think I want to get married. And Aunt Lottie looked at him and said, Archie, who you love more, her or me? Oh, man. Man, she done hit Archie with the question, man. That's Mama. You know what I'm saying? That's Mama. I mean, that's Mama, boy, fixing them good breakfasts and, boy, and being there. And Aunt Lottie's a good... That's Mama, man. And she done looked at Archie. I could see her. I could see her look at her face. Archie, who you love more, her or me? Oh, man. Well, Archie, bless his heart. She already taught him to be true. He said, Mama, I reckon her. Let's have us a wedding then. Amen. He's still married to this day. In her 60s all now. That's good, man. So you love more, Archie, her or me? Hey, mamas, realize that someday, if he meets the right one, he better love her more than you. Like I said Wednesday night, Ellie, I hope I'm your hero now, but if that one does come around, you better love him first. He better be your hero. Ladies, look here. I know it's easy to always say, that's my baby, that's my baby, that's my mommy or mama. But let me tell you something. If a young'un's marriage is ever to work, they need to love the wife more than they love the mama. And my old Aunt Lottie told that to him. You know what? She was right. Let me tell you something. That dear woman, she did open her mouth with wisdom at that point. She opened her mouth with wisdom and let out a big nugget. That's the truth. And mamas, look here. Understand that. That them young'uns got to love the husband and wife more. Daddies will get to us next month, but ladies, think about it. In fact, mamas, look here. If you're not careful, someday your sons might have to dethrone you. What are you talking about? Read your Bible. Asa's mother was queen, but she went and did wrong, and the Bible says he put her down from being queen. He had to dethrone Mama. Now, today's Mother's Day. I want a good... Listen, let me put it this way, ladies. Look here. Today's Mother's Day. All right? Today we honor mothers. Do y'all remember the Bible? Have you ever read the Bible where Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth? Timothy was a young preacher. Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. You ever thought about how Timothy was supposed to do that? Was Timothy supposed to stand up in church and go, now y'all hear me? The Apostle Paul, capital A, buddy, the Apostle Paul said, y'all are not supposed to despise my youth. You better not do it. Well, guess what? They're all going to despise his youth, right? Because he just showed his youth. So if you read the next verses, Paul tells Timothy how they're not supposed to despise his youth. Be an example of the brethren in this, and other. Now, mamas, you want your young'uns to honor you, I know. You know the best way to do it? If you demand it, you ain't going to get it. If you pull with it, I'm your mom, you better! That's not the way to get it. This Bible says, honor thy father and mother. And it says that. You know what? Do like that book says, be that virtuous woman, that honor will come. It'll come. Honor that has to be demanded like that, you don't get it. Be what that book, like Paul told Timothy to be an example, and his youth wouldn't be despised. Be what that book says, and honor will come. Let's go on just real quickly. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Again, she looks out for her household. She's on the lookout for needs to be met. She's unselfish. It's not like, honey, why are you going around with only thing, well, only power of the sock you're wearing is the heel? Well, a year ago it started out as a hole in my toe, but you know, it, you know, you look for the things that you can do. Look for the things you can do. Ladies, listen, I love you. Don't let the outlook society has in the home dictate how you are. Let God and His Word. The things of the home are to be your concern. Alright? And look out for these things. The Bible says, look at verse 27, look what it says. She, the virtuous woman, looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's industrious. Where can something be done here? Where can something be done there? We're going to... She builds up her household. She's unselfish. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now, you know what? Do you realize, I wonder if across this land this morning, this passage won't be preached on, and somebody will get up and stand and say, all right, we need to bless our mothers and praise them. Hold on. Your Bible does not say every woman deserves this. Now, hold on here. And I'm not putting this on any of you here. I don't know, ladies. This is between you and God and your family. You and only your family. I'm just telling you that, listen, this thing's liable to be preached and saying, let's pray. Listen, husband, praise your wives and children, bless your mothers. And that didn't apply to just mothers. This is for the virtuous woman. Ladies, if you want this, if you want your children to rise up and call you blessed, if you want your husband to praise you, here's the criteria to be met. Now, folks, tell me if I've erred here. Tell me if I'm wrong. Is not this correct, brother? It says the one that says is praised and blessed is the virtuous woman. An unvirtuous woman forfeits her right to this. But across this land here, let's bless these mothers and praise these mothers. And you know what? So often there'll be mothers sitting there and want to bask in that. That's right. That's right. This is not. That's right. But undeserving of it. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. But brethren, our Bible tells us it was the virtuous woman that got this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. But gentlemen, let me say this to you. If your wife is deserving of any praise, give it. Praise is better than money. So I'm telling you, so as far as encouraging somebody and doing, listen, if she deserves it, then don't give anything that's undeserved. But if it's deserved, give it. Give it. It'll do wonders. It'll do wonders. Give right praise when it's due. Verse 29. We're just about done, but I really want you to stay with me these last couple of verses. Look at verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And that's, now the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? But then it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Listen to this point. Many have done virtuously. But this woman is virtuous. Are you with me? There's a difference between virtue, doing virtuously as an isolated act, and being virtuous as a habit of life. That's who you are. You see, I had got convicted of individual sins in my life before I got saved. But I got saved when I saw I was a sinner. You know what? Many people will do a virtuous act. This woman, her whole character is virtuous. All right? Again, many have done virtuously, but she is virtuous. Oh, ladies, sisters, make virtue a habit in your life and not an isolated event. Make virtue a habit and not an isolated event. Can I throw a little spiritual point in here, though? There's something real beautiful here. You see, because we see the church here. You see, many religions and many philosophies have done virtuously, but only the church is virtuous. The church excels them all. Look what it says. Many daughters of... Listen, brother. In many religions, there are some good points. You know, about treating people right or doing... You know. But only the church is virtuous. Only the church is perfect. But look, but thou excellest them all. Praise God. The true blood-bought, born-again church of the Lord Jesus Christ excels all the world's religions and philosophies. And it's there, brethren. There's a little nugget the Lord has got in there and that about. That's the church right there, no doubt. All right, verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, She shall be praised. Not so much a woman favorable and beautiful. And woman of the fear of the Lord, she should be praised. You know who praised her? Not just her husband, I believe, and her children. I believe the Lord. I believe someday she'll get honor from the Lord. And notice this. Notice what it says. A woman that feareth the Lord. Well, in our study of Proverbs, guess what we found out? The Bible says wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. So guess what we automatically know by our study of Proverbs? This virtuous woman hates evil. She hates pride, arrogance, the evil way. She hates those things. That's part of what makes her. Because it says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she should be praised. What's the fear of the Lord? The Bible says wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it lists pride, arrogancy. How about that? So we know, by studying our Bible, we know this woman hates evil. Isn't that a blessing? It's a good woman. She hates evil. She hates pride. She hates arrogancy. She hates the froward mouth. She hates the evil way. She hates those things. She's a virtuous woman. And she shall be praised. Praise the Lord, brethren. Look here, ladies. That's the gold strive for. Verse 31, and I'll close with this. Give her of the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Across this land this morning, there's going to be many a mother, no doubt, who wants to demand praise. This is Mother's Day. Why don't you honor me? Where's my honor? Where's my praise? And there's been no doubt many a child that feels like they need to, you know, do a little something token, but the heart ain't in it, and they can't help it. They can't help the heart's not in it. But yet many a mother's going like, I'm a mother, and I deserve this. This text shows us the virtuous one deserved that. And by the way, give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, concerning this woman, nothing has to be made up about her. Her works tell a story. No cheesy card that's not telling the truth. Alright? No pithy little statements, you know, that ain't true. Her own works tell the story. Nothing has to be made up. Nothing has to be doctored up. The proof's in the pudding. Hey, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. You know, brethren, we could have a bunch of feel-good, nice, you know, touchy-feely stuff, you know, and get all warm, fuzzied out and all the other, you know, little stands that, you know, and but brethren, and yet leave here and our character not help one bit. But brethren, if we can see here, oh, ladies, I love you. Oh, ladies, look here, I think I love you. I think you fly the moon. I think you're great. But you know, I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Here's the standards of that virtuous woman. Ladies, I want you to get praise and honor. But it just don't come. These criteria have to be met. Oh, man will do it. You can buy them cheesy, pithy cards, you know, and just kind of, you know, and it says, you know. Let me tell you something. I give cards. But let me tell you something. By God's grace, I ain't buying a card I don't mean. I'm not buying a card I don't mean and don't say what I mean. If you don't say it, then forget it. And, you know, but I mean, listen, desire, ladies, desire to have something better than just, you know, oh, this is your day and you're this and this. When you know, I think, God, I want to be like that. Help me to do better. But this virtuous woman, no tales have to be made about her. No made-up stories, no special, nothing like that. Her own works, the proof's in the pudding. There it is. James chapter 2, verse 18. The book of James kind of puts it this way. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, that virtuous woman doesn't have to say, honor me, honor me, honor me, I'm a mother. No, that virtuous woman just has to sit quietly while her works scream out, honor this woman. Are you with me? You see, the virtuous woman does not have to sit and whine and pout and say, I'm a mother and no honor for me and there's no honor and no appreciation and no. The virtuous woman can sit quietly there while her works scream out to the heavens, this woman deserves honor. Now ladies, I love you everyone and I did not preach this morning to depress anyone. Hope it didn't. Hope you can all say, praise the Lord, I'm glad things God's doing in my life. Amen. Listen.
But I'm going to tell you, as your pastor and somebody cares about you, and giving you just what the Bible told us this morning, why don't you do this? If God has spoken to your heart about any matter, would you be willing to say, "Dear Lord, I want to be that woman. And not for your husband and not for your children, but for Jesus' sake." Say, "Father, for Jesus' sake, I want to be that woman that has such a life that it will redound to your honor and glory. That it will just bring honor and glory to you, and I can be a blessing to those around me. And that my own works can praise me. That I will have to have someone, hoping someone will say something nice about me, but my works will praise me. Because I've got something done for you." That's the thing to shoot for. You know what? You won't regret it now. You won't regret it at the age of 50, 60, 70, and all that if the Lord didn't come back. And you won't regret it for eternity. Father, we thank You for this time this morning and for Your Word. Lord, lay these things to our heart. We thank You, dear Lord, for these ladies. Dear God, I thank You for them. I thank You for their attentiveness. And Lord, dear God, we do thank You, Lord, for our mothers. And Lord, we love them and appreciate them. But oh Lord, dear God, help us to realize. Oh Lord, help us to realize, as both men and women both, Lord, that true praise and honor can't just simply be given. Lord, this woman received such honor and accolade because she was a virtuous woman. Oh Lord, help this to sink down in our hearts, and may this be the goal of every woman and every girl in this room.